Texas will be experiencing high winds this morning into the Gulf of Mexico. If you're planning to be anywhere in the Gulf today, better batten down the hatches.
Don't say no. I'm going to Texas. I'm getting on a plane right now. There's going to be major fallout in a few hours.
Nuclear fallout?
Bird fallout. I'm talking about a major storm hitting the Gulf of Mexico in the middle of migration season. I'm talking about headwinds and downpours and 100,000 birds literally dropping from the sky.
Stu, where are you going?
Texas.
Damn birds.
There's so much to see in Canada. The Grasslands National Park, to the Okanagan, to say, Churchill, all kinds of places. There's just so much to see. And you can just boot along at 120, and you're always looking for moose.
Never hit the moose.
Yeah. When I look at the whole year, I start realizing the number of what mega rarities for the year. One of the most exciting is the Eurasian blackbird. And to tell you too, records are made to be broken. So somebody out there will look at the big picture and go, I'm going to try and take a rest for a while. This has been on my plate since 1977.
Hello, I'm Robert Bomander, and I am a big year birder. Welcome, birders, to the Big Year Podcast. This is part two of my chat with the all-new, all-time record holder for a Canada Big Year, Bruce DeLabio. As I record this, it's a sunny spring day in late March, and the excitement of migration season is just around the corner. It's what all birders crave after a long, cold winter in the northern U.S. and Canada. However, for those in the southern U.S., migration gets going about a month earlier, and one of the best places to be in April is Texas, and specifically High Island on the Gulf Coast, where spring storms can bring the holy grail of migration season, a fallout. Sue and I will be heading there for the second week of April, and fallout or not, it's one of the best places to see southern migrants passing through. I've experienced two fallouts. First was at Fort DeSoto near Tampa, Florida in April of 2012, and Sue and I enjoyed one in Rondeau Provincial Park in southwestern Ontario in May of 2018. On both occasions, the warblers and other songbirds were sitting exhausted like Christmas ornaments on the trees. Not just a kaleidoscope of color, but even carpeting the ground, forcing birders to gingerly step over and around them. And for big year birders, it's an event not to be missed. I'll be reporting live from Texas and Boy Scout Woods beginning April 10th, and perhaps I'll run into a birder or two doing their own big years. But now it's time to get on with the show. Let's pick up where we left off with Bruce DeLabio heading out for his 53rd consecutive Ottawa Christmas bird count when things took an unexpected turn.
And then when I was back in Ottawa in December, my big year ended on December 17th, with a bang. I wanted, but that ended everything. I knew I accepted it. It's just reality. And if I made a flight out to Vancouver, I would have got Pinion Jay East. But yeah, that was it. And it ended it.
Tell the story of how that happened.
I was on the Ottawa Christmas bird count. This was my 53rd consecutive year doing it.
That's impressive.
And it was in the same area, the Britannia Conservation Area. And I met one of my friends like at 6:30, and we were out, started to check the area. And we're just walking down a path, and we haven't really had much winter, and we've had a lot of fluctuation temperatures. So the paths were pretty icy, and I just slipped. I hit hard, and that was it. I couldn't move. When I tried to move, it was excruciating pain. My friend Chris, the trainer, he said, go, can I help? Try and help you get up. And I basically just said, don't touch me. Don't pull me or anything, because I know I've done something to myself. So I tried to slide myself on the ice. I was laying there for 7 or 8 minutes just in the pain. I tried to get to the stump and just a little bit of a move of my back. And I said, no, call 911. So I had to call 911. Fire department came, ambulance about a half an hour later or so. And then they were about 250 meters into the woods. So they had to come in, get me, bring me out. And I'll tell you, once I got in the ambulance, I was so glad they gave me morphine, because the pain I couldn't believe. Anyway, I was in the hospital for 5 days, had, you know, damaged my ribs, my lung, and I'm still recovering. Yeah, I tell you, it was an eye-opener. I'd done anything like that to myself.
So there's stories that you have that are some of the more interesting ones that are sometimes the ones that are the least tasteful and more painful ones for the year.
Oh, yeah, and I tell you, as I was laying there for a while, even though I was in pain and that, I said to myself, I got to focus on any birds. So I ended up getting 7 species of birds while I was laying on my back in pain. So that officially counted as my 53rd consecutive Ottawa Christmas bird count.
It's funny that you say that. At the end of 2022, I finished 5 consecutive years of doing an eBird list every day. I had multiple surgeries, and I brought my binoculars to the hospital and made sure I didn't miss a list, even if the birds out the window were crows and pigeons and starlings. I can appreciate not wanting to miss that list for your consecutive count.
Yeah.
So one of the things I want to talk about, my drive to New Brunswick, you did have some company on a lot of drives, but obviously you were out on your own a lot too. What was the worst and maybe the scariest drive you did all by yourself?
Yeah, I did a lot of driving by myself, and especially I drove from Gananoque to Halifax a number of times, then through New Brunswick and Quebec, but I was pretty lucky with the weather. Even on the prairies, I would say the Okanagan Valley in April can be quite interesting when you're going up over the passes and that. There's lots of snow. A lot of the roads had the logging roads and back roads. Snow. So I was, in general, in my birding and other years, I've had terrifying drives down the 401 and driving in Newfoundland on the Avalon Peninsula other years in January in a blinding snowstorm going over the Barrens and with Chris McTavish, and you can't even see. Those were scary, but the scariest one was with my son when we were doing our 18-hour straight drive to Yarmouth. We drove through this tropical storm / Hurricane Lee, it was originally, and the torrential rains in New Brunswick, and we were like hydroplaning. That was scary. I forgot about that, but that was scary. But that was the only like major area that I was had any concern, because hydroplaning, you just lose control.
I did not have to drive in any kind of wet weather, but I drove to one of the furthest mountain areas to get the lesser goldfinch, those logging roads where the logging trucks will just go down whatever speed they can get their vehicles up to. They go down and they don't really give a poop about people in their little four-wheel drive mini SUVs.
Yeah.
And I realized that's why the show Highway Through Hell is so popular, because I was twice on the highway through hell in hellish weather. But I did get up there in one piece, and it was one of those trips, once you finish it and you get through the fear, that you go, wow, I'm so glad I actually did this. And you must have had just so many driving experiences, and you had the polar bear. There are so many things that you can say I wouldn't have done without doing Full Out Big Year.
I know. And the other thing too is going through New Brunswick, because I drove through there a number of times, and I drove through at night. They have the nice big 4-lane highway. They've had it for a while, but you can just boot along at 120 and you're always looking for moose. I saw a couple of moose, but fortunately they weren't on the road. That was the biggest fear at night. That's one thing that scared me, was driving at night at 120 and just watching for moose.
I was driving somewhere in Nova Scotia. It was a 2-lane road late at night trying to get to a hotel. And I catch a little glint of something in my headlight, slowed down. And there were 2 moose. When I stopped, the 2 moose were literally 5 feet in front of my bumper. And I remember in driving school, they would teach you that if you're in traffic and there's other cars around, you can't risk other people. So if you see a dog, you see a deer, you have to keep the safety of other people in mind. And if you have to hit it, you have to hit it, or else you might cause a major accident and people will get injured. But there was a caveat to that. Never hit the moose.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because whatever happens to the people behind you when you slam on your brakes for the moose is going to be inconsequential to what happens if you hit the moose. Yeah, that is a fear that I had throughout any time I've been in the dark birding, but I can feel the fear that you have driving on those East Coast roads at night.
Oh, yeah.
What was a highlight bird of the year?
Yeah, when I look at the whole year, you start realizing the number of what mega rarities for the year. It's pretty phenomenal, but I still think one of the most exciting is the Eurasian blackbird. It had been around since December 21st.
Yes, it was a tough decision not to go out there.
Yeah, and I knew within a X number of days, Bruce McTavish and Ken Knowles bombed all the way there and back. They got to see it. Like in January, I was looking, oh, it's still around. February, it's still around. And then at the end of February, a friend of mine calls me up, says, hey, do you want to go at the end of March? I said, who knows if it's going to be here at the end of March? Anyway, Alden and I went, and then we drove to Montreal, got here, stayed overnight. We drove to Montreal early in the morning on the 31st. Mm-hmm. And then we took this like milk run flight all the way up to Sept-Îles. And then another friend up in Teal, he picked us up, Vernon Buckles. And then we made our way up to the location. That's when at 10:30 at night, this polar bear Alvin and I are half asleep, and just yells, polar bear. And it runs right across and up the embankment, stops, looks at us, and then disappears into the boreal forest. And then the next morning where we stayed, we were like just down the street from where the blackbird, and we just waited, and we knew it had been there the day before, but still you think, oh, maybe this is the last day. Maybe it left yesterday.
Every bird has a last day.
Yeah. And but fortunately it came into the feeder. We got great views, pictures, and then we just carried on birding for a day and a bit, and then did the same flight back. But surprisingly, only 8 or 9 people came to see the bird. That's it.
You can imagine what a trip it was just to get there in March. To have tried to get there in December was, had someone with me that I could have felt comfortable doing all this travel, but oh man, I can't imagine what it would have been like to try and do that by myself in December. That was, especially when people were warning me about the weather.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. That would have been tricky for sure. That's why I was so glad when I was asked if I wanted to go, because Alvin knew I was doing a big year. Yeah, I just hope the bird sticks around.
We had depended on Chuck Will's widow, and those birds didn't even show up in 2022. And did you find anywhere in Canada where there was a Chuck Will's widow?
No, for 2023, there weren't any either.
It was fun and exciting, and the adventure is what you really have to enjoy. But it's hard to appreciate some of the places that you do get to, because you have to get on to the next rare bird or the next 5 birds that if you don't go now, you're not going to get them. And I think if someone wants to do a Canada Big Year, but don't worry about breaking records, then you can spend a little bit of time in each place you go to and enjoy the scenery a bit more and enjoy some of the history of Canada that very few people get to do over the course of a lifetime, let alone 1 year.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. There's so much to see in Canada, particularly, and from Grasslands National Park to the Okanagan to Churchill, all kinds of places. There's just so much to see. And when you're Big Year, you're birds. You all obviously go and you find a percentage of them are self-found, that's for sure. But the rarities you have to chase. And it takes a lot of time and energy, but you can still look around at other things while you're doing it.
Grasslands National Park was one of the places that I was glad that I didn't have to be anywhere. And I was on my way to the Flammulated Owl at the time, but I knew that wasn't going anywhere. So I enjoyed my day at Grasslands. Thing that I wasn't expecting were the prairie dogs.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
You get there because you're going there for burrowing owls, and you discover these crazy little prairie dog communities. And I got my burrowing owls, and then I just spent the next 2 hours looking at prairie dogs.
Oh, yeah, no, the dog towns are fascinating to just sit there and watch all the behavior and activity that's going on.
And did you do any driving across the country? One thing I did that, again, that was another one of those things that I did because I felt that was the main part of the trip, was I wanted to, when I was a kid, one of the trips that we did that I wish I was a birder now, that back then was we took the train from Toronto to Saskatoon. And so I wanted to do that trip. I knew that might be 3 days where I'm going to miss something, and I'm sure I missed a couple of rarities because of it. I really wanted to do that, but then BRL was going on strike, and as it turned out, I thought, you know what, I'll get off in Winnipeg, and I drove from Winnipeg all the way to Tofino for another pelagic, and that was just the most fascinating trip to reliving something from my childhood. Was there a time where you did just some long drives through central Canada?
Yeah, I did drives like from Winnipeg to Calgary, birding along the way down to grasslands and wandering around, riding Mountain National Park, places like that. And then I flew to Calgary, and then I drove in, birded the Okanagan Valley. And on another occasion, I birded the Okanagan Valley, and I went over to Vancouver, birded Vancouver. I was trying to remember, I think it was Lesser Goldfinch was there, mm-hmm. the Bartail Godwit. But yeah, so I did segments of it going across. The only area out of all my doing big years and accidental big years, whatever, I didn't drive from, say, Toronto or Ottawa to Nora. Mm-hmm. That part, because all those birds I got in different areas. Mm. It wasn't necessary.
And that's the thing that you have to balance, is how much of the country do I want to see versus how many birds I want to see. And I was up in the Yukon, and I was 300 kilometers south of the Arctic Circle on the Dempster Highway. And it was so tempting to just do the rest of the drive, and it would have cost me 3 days. I really wanted to do that. You've been up there, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Fortunately, over the years, I've done 5 tours.
Were you doing one in 2022 up there earlier in the year before I got there in the summer? I thought I had seen a report or two from up there.
Yes, yes. Co-led tours up there. So yeah, I got to go right up to Tuktoyaktuk when they expanded the Dempster Highway. It was completed in November. Yeah, that's always a fascinating area, the whole Dempster Highway, for the scenery, mammals, birds, everything is.
Oh, yeah, the animals cross the road is fascinating. And yeah, a secondary reason why I wanted to do that, which when being obsessive, I like to learn everything about where they were when they made the big year and where they actually were when these guys did the big year. And I realized that the Dempster Highway was where the shots on Attu were done.
Okay.
And when I got there, I randomly was talking to one of the rangers and one of the bird guides, and they said, oh, you've got to go to this mile marker, that, and this motel, and you can see everywhere where they filmed and where they created Attu on the Dempster Highway. I was on my way up for the Deer Falcon. I sought out all those locations, and Tofino was where every time they did a pelagic in the movie, he used Tofino. So I had a lot of fun seeking out all the different filming locations, but at the same time being able to get all the birds I needed as well. Did you do the Dempster Highway that year, or did you not need to?
For 2023, fortunately, I couldn't. Just a number of things took place, and I planned to go in July, and some family stuff was going on, so I couldn't. And I also heard this last year, the Deer Falcons weren't there at the Erie.
Oh, wow. So that's one of those things where you go, wow, I did get lucky. For all the times you think you just made the wrong decision, or you went to the wrong place at the wrong time, and being my first travel across Canada like that, I know I made dumb decisions, but I don't regret any of them because I had just had the time of my life for the entire year as well. And the lesson I learned, and everybody who has to do a big year, how bent out of shape they were and how inner anger because they missed a bird. And it's easier on your mental health to let it go. And I'm not kind of guy who can let things go, but when it came to missing birds, I would just revel in the experience.
Well, yeah, no, you just got to let it go because it'll destroy your big year. People, I can't give any names, but I know people giving up doing a big year. They get so frustrated.
And I'm sure you experienced it every once in a while too, where you're just standing by yourself in the middle of nowhere thinking, what the heck am I doing? And there's that moment, especially in my first big year in 2012, why am I even doing this? I don't understand. And yet 10 minutes later, maybe you see the bird or something else changes and you go, oh, I know I am doing this. This is why I'm here, where I'd never been before.
Oh yeah. The other side of all of this, at least for me, was for the decades, my guiding of that, I know people all over Canada. So a lot of people I got to see last year that I hadn't seen for a long time to chat, or they kept you up to date on circuits. What it was like going to Peely, but I did it across Canada.
And the last bird that I wanted to talk to you about was one that I, under any other circumstances, I would not have missed. I should have seen, and I should have maybe done a little bit more research. But only white-tailed ptarmigan I knew of was a 3-kilometer hike north of Vancouver up this mountain that was, for me with my disability in my legs, I tried it twice, and each time I got kilometer, and I knew if I kept going, I was going to have a heart attack. And I still want that bird, but I want an easier place to get it. You mentioned in Peely that there was a place that you knew of that wasn't a big walk.
Yeah, it's basically, to me, it's the best place or the easiest place to get white-tailed ptarmigan in Canada. I've been up to the site 8 times and I've gotten them 8 times. So it's the Whistlers at Jasper. Okay. So you go to Jasper, it goes right up to the top.
Yes.
And then depending on activity and so on, birds can be a couple of birds, like 100, 200 meters up the path. Maybe at worst case scenario, you have to walk 300 or 400 meters. But I've been successful there every year. They're super tame. The times I've gone there, it's always been from late May to early July in that time.
I'm going to keep that one in mind. You've just made me go, oh my God, I was there at the gondolas and I was birding in the area, but I guess no one had done an eBird list in the last, I think, 14 days. So when I was looking through what was being seen in the area, I did not see white-tailed ptarmigan on eBird. So if I had seen even one report in the last 7 days, I would have, of course, taken the gondola up. But that's the problem in some cases with certain birds in certain locations. Those birds could be there every single day, but if no one's going up there and doing eBird, you're not going to know about it unless, like you, you've been to the spot, and whether it was on eBird or not in the last week or two, you're still going to see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's, you have to go up to that high elevation. That is their habitat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is the easiest location to get your white-tailed ptarmigan.
I will do that in the future because I never want to try that hike that I tried again. And I knew the birds were up there. There was 3 or 4 of them at that spot. And every time someone walked up there, they saw them. You know what? I had a great time. I saw a lot of birds. I luckily for your own big year list, if birds are taken off after you've done it, they still count because you saw it. But sometimes the game birds too.
Yeah. Like nowadays, because DNA and everything, that there's going to be a lot of changes over the decades. And I think in general, if you've kept track of birds, subspecies during your big year, you're going to end up down the road when they're split.
One of them is going to come back.
Oh yeah, there'll be a couple of them that you're going to get that you weren't able to count. But I just look at it, given like in that given year, that's what I did. And if 5 years from now they've split species and I get 5 more species, whatever, I had fun with what I did.
Yes,
it was
phenomenal. And who knows if there's anybody out there that's willing and capable of beating your record. But that's for me. When I saw you're doing it the next year, I was like, oh, I hope he goes out and beats my record, because I tried my darndest to not let you catch up to me in 2022. And I don't know how hard you were trying to catch up to me, but it was fun. It made me go for birds at the end of the year that I never would have gone for.
Oh yeah, no, in the back of my mind and the little bit of feedback I was getting, I thought my push definitely would encourage you to get going.
And that the green-tailed towhee at the end of the year was one of the last really good birds that I got. And I missed you by 2 hours there. I don't know how on earth we did not run into each other once. And I was looking forward to it. I've got to see him at one of these rarities. And you were either there just before me or just after me, like the marsh sandpiper and birds like that. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate your time. And I had a great time talking to you. I have to maybe turn this into a two-parter because I've got a lot of material to work with. I think for 99% of this conversation, there isn't anything that I can remove for time. So it's going to be a two-parter.
Oh, yeah. No problem. It'd be great to do something else. And to tell you too, records are made to be broken. So I know down the road, it could be this year, next year, whatever, somebody out there will look at the big picture and go, I'm going to try and whatever. But I think now I'm taking a rest for a while. This has been on my plate since 1977. I'm glad I did what I did. And I had a wonderful time.
I'm glad you did what you did too. I'm glad you pushed me in 2022 as well, as I would have stopped at 450. I would have said I got 450. Only two other people had done that before us. And it's interesting. Do you know the folks that did that?
No, I don't. All I know, they're from BC. That's it.
To me, right. It was the remarkable thing because they were the first people, I think, even to see more than 440.
Yeah, they probably are, at least on eBird.
Yeah, nowadays, if you're going to see that many birds, you're going to eBird it. And 10, 15 years ago, when people weren't eBirding, I don't think you could have seen that many. There just wasn't the opportunity. I would have really loved to have had a chance to talk to them, but that was the only disappointment. And as far as my podcast is concerned, for me, it didn't matter because no one had just done that literally 90% by themselves. Other than my trip to Nova Scotia with Sue in the summer and Point Pelee, I traveled for 11 and a half months all by myself and reveled in the all by myself. I don't know how much you enjoy being by yourself, but I loved it.
I do, because you got being a guide for 30 some years, a lot of my birding, I had 10 people behind me at all times. And so I do enjoy, or I should say, I did enjoy my time alone too.
Especially in the western part, the central part of Canada and the plains, you're literally the only person in where the Baird Sparrow is and some of those places. That was to be in that spot and get that bird was really kind of cool. It's not a bird that many people know that is there, and then you really have to work to hear it. Were you able to get there early enough in the day to see one?
Yeah, I was able to get the Baird Sparrow. I have a number of spots I know that are very good over the years, kind of like Whitetail Ptarmigan. I have an idea where to go to listen for them and find them.
The one thing I learned that I didn't know was that Bonaparte's gulls nest in trees. And and when you're walking a trail looking for whatever you're looking for, and you just happen to walk by a Bonaparte's gull nest, they are vicious.
Oh, I know. They're very up in Churchill. I run into that a number of times.
Well, thanks again, and hope you have a nice, relaxing spring to heal. And maybe I will see you in Pelee this year if you get out there.
Okay.
Do you get to Pelee every year, or is that just a...
Oh, every year. Yep. For the last, like, almost 25 years, I've been there every year, so...
Well, enjoy yourself, and thank you again. Take care.
Okay, Robert. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Bruce's stories of his amazing, record-shattering Canada Big Year. Having enjoyed many of the same adventures, including my own slip on the ice in Nova Scotia that could have brought my Canada Big Year to a crashing end only 3 days into 2022, I can appreciate all that Bruce went through in 2023. Congratulations, Bruce, and good luck to anyone attempting their own Canada Big Years in the future. There is a record to be broken, after all. Next month, we have a guest from out west, Chrissy Martin. Sorry, Chrissy. Last month I called you Christy. Chrissy is very open about living life after a brain injury and, like many of us, has discovered that birding has had a very positive impact on her life. We'll talk about that and the big years she's done in British Columbia and how birding in general and big years in particular can improve your well-being and outlook on life. Once again, thanks to Bruce and all of you out there for listening. I'll leave you with a brief excerpt from my conversation with Chrissy Martin. So long, and as always, may the birds be with you.
I live in Abbotsford. I'm a mom of two. My daughter is about to turn 7. My son just turned 3. I refer to myself online as Mama Birder. I also have a brain injury. So I was trying to figure out what kind of things I could do to occupy my time. And people suggest all of things like crafting, you know. I did do those things. They're not quite as exciting as I was hoping for. The big year, the movie, was pretty inspirational for me. So I didn't want to do a big year as something to compete with other people. It was just about like setting a goal for myself. Once I started doing my big year, I went over like my entire species list from 2021 and 2020, and I would figure out like what all the birds were that came, and I categorized them according to like how easy they would be to get. And then I figured out where I'd have to go and when I'd have to go. And there was a lot of planning that went into it. So in the first couple of years, I had a lot of memory issues. So the injury was in 2012. And basically my memory from like about 2009 and now I'll say to about 2013, 2014, like there's a lot of just blank spots. So yeah, I would mix up words and I would forget things, and it's like my brain would regress to a different point of time. And I had a list, because I love lists, a list of like birds that I had seen in both places, and ones that I'd only seen in Metro Vancouver, ones that I'd only seen in Fraser Valley, and then other, I had also like a BC goal to C275. So I knew I was gonna go up to like Burns Lake area, which is kind of around Prince George, halfway point of BC, thinking that all of my stories that I come up with have to do with the people. So it is a lot about like the community, and it just so happened that there was a rare bird, a buff-breasted sandpiper, that showed up that day. And then I saw a couple other birder friends while we were there. And we all thought that we were just not going to see the bird because no one had found it. The tide came up against the dike. So usually sandpipers are not going to be there when it's like right up against the dike. But the water was pushing up under all of the dried seaweed that had been there all day. And the birds were like light enough that they were walking across it. And we were losing light. And yeah, just not hopeful that we were going to find it. We kind of had all spread out along the dike. All of a sudden, I was like, I think I hear something down there. So I called my friends back over that I had run into. And my friend Robert, yeah, it was the most amazing thing. We all got to see this bird, and it was a lifer for everyone who was there. So that moment when, like, people that I've held in high esteem and thought, like, I don't think there's ever going to be a bird that she hasn't seen that I haven't. And like the look on her face when she saw it, like she was just so excited. So like the excitement of seeing birds with other people and it being exciting for everybody, like it's just, it makes it all worth it. All those times where I'm like out by myself and like I don't get to talk to anybody because I'm out looking for this bird way out in the middle of nowhere, and I find it and yay, but I look around and there's no one to celebrate with. So I count it as I had 252 in Metro Vancouver, which was two over the goal. And then 219 in Fraser Valley. So bird number 216. So I saw it and I took a little video and I was like, it's the record-breaking bird. And I was so freaking proud of myself. Yes, be a lister, but also just like enjoy the birds, you know? And also just be gracious with yourself and have fun,